You'll turn back in God's Word as we come to 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 17 to 25. Here this evening we have David, the warrior king, In 2 Samuel chapter 5, David has been anointed king of all Israel. And as we noted this morning, this must surely be the high point, or one of the high points, in Israel's Old Testament history. God has redeemed them from the land of Egypt through Moses. He set them free from slavery. God has entered into covenant with them, and that covenant was then renewed at Mount Sinai. A covenant community is formed and established, and God has brought his people into the land of promise. They've taken possession of that land through Joshua. And now, his people have a chosen, anointed king sitting on the throne. Chapters 5, verses 1 to 16, which we looked at this morning, brought us to this point. Look again at verse 12. I said this was the high point, or the key verse. David knew that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. This is wonderful. This is glorious. And if you're a Christian, as we noted this morning, that point in time when God worked so graciously in your life, when God called you from darkness to light, when he set you free from sin, when you came to realize that he had set his love on you in Jesus Christ, when you cried out for forgiveness, when God forgave you, when Jesus Christ made his dwelling in your heart, that must surely be a high point. It's wonderful. It's glorious. God the Spirit indwelling us, Jesus Christ on the throne. We've bowed the knee to King Jesus. We recognize his lordship. We recognize him as Savior. We are in his kingdom. The king is on the throne. Sins are forgiven. What a high point. But look, we come to 2 Samuel 5, verse 17. When the Philistines hear that David has been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. Uh-oh. There's still battles to be fought. The king is on the throne. The king is in the dwelling place. But there's still battles that need to be fought. Yes, this is a high point. But there's still warfare to be engaged in. You see, although Israel was in the land, and the king was on the throne, the conquest of Canaan wasn't yet complete. Much of the kingdom was still occupied by the Philistines, and now they rise up. There's still this struggle. However, we're going to see this evening that David is the warrior king. In our Christian lives, many of you are all too aware of this. That wonderful, glorious high point, which is what it is in being brought to Christ, having Christ ruling and reigning in our hearts, knowing him as King and Lord and Savior, there's still a battle to be fought. There's still an ongoing struggle, a spiritual battle. This side of eternity, the warfare hasn't finished. And it is warfare that we're involved in. Spiritual warfare. But there's good news. Our king is the warrior king. Our king is the mighty king. The victorious king. And so we can stand our ground in the battle, in the warfare, because of who our king is. And because of what he accomplishes. This evening, as we come to 2 Samuel chapter 5, we find that David, the warrior king, points us to Jesus Christ, the true warrior king. Let's see that in the passage before us. And we see it in that he protects us through the plan of God. He protects us through the plan of God. We have this in verse 19 and then in verse 23. We're told twice that the Philistines come up to the valley of Rephaim. This was a few miles southwest of Jerusalem, David's city. And the Philistines come up twice. And so David twice seeks God's direction for the battle. We're told that he inquires of the Lord in verse 19 and then again in verse 23. Both times David asked the same question, or we assume he asked the same question the second time round. Shall I go up against the Philistines? Now God's answer to David on both occasions is different. The first time he is told to go up. The second time he's told to go around. God varies his commands to David on both these occasions. Almost two identical situations. Both times the Philistines come up. Both times they go into the valley of Rephaim. Both times they spread out. But God gives different instructions. Now the important point being made here is not, well, what does it mean to go up and what does it mean to go around? Now, we're not to ask, how do I know which one God wants me to do? Are there different ways to fight my spiritual battles? What happens if I go up instead of going around? Or what happens if I go around instead of going up? If I look at this and try to apply it to my life, I might get very confused and think God's instructions aren't clear. That's not what we're to take from this. Rather, what we are to see is that David listened to God's direction. David followed God's plan on every occasion. The second time, David didn't just assume that, well, God was with me the first time and gave me instructions, so I'm just going to plow ahead this time. I'm just going to make my own way, do things by my own effort. No. David rather says, I will follow God's plan. And so prayerfully, thoughtfully, searchingly, he seeks out God's will, God's word. And then David obeys. And this is important for us in our struggles, in our spiritual warfare. When Satan comes to attack us and tempt us, when we're faced with the onslaughts of the world around us, we are to be like David. That is, we are to continually seek God's word, God's direction. We are to seek God's plan through his word for our lives. We're to be like David. Or better still, we're to be like Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, it was the obedience of Jesus Christ that has defeated our enemy. It's the obedience of Jesus Christ following the plan and the will of God that defeated sin and death. Jesus, all his life, sought to do the Father's will. Jesus was often in prayer. If the Son of God had to pray, then how much more should we have to pray in the battle, seeking to know God's direction, seeking God's plan, God's will? But we must pray. Jesus Christ was obedient, and he was obedient for us, so that when we are tempted, we can look at his obedience as an example to follow and on how to follow the plan of God, the Father's will. And so we follow Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan in the wilderness? Each time he quoted God's word, the sword of the Spirit. And if Jesus used the living word, then so must we use the living word. Through reading his word, storing his word in our hearts, looking to the living word. And as we do so, we follow the King who knew the plan of God. We're looking to Jesus Christ. I want boys and girls and young people, I want you to pay particular attention to this. Why do you learn memory verses? Why do your mums and dads send you to Sabbath school? Why do they read the Bible with you at home and encourage you to read the Bible on your own? It's because through God's Word, the Word of God, we get to see and know Jesus Christ. And in our spiritual battle, when Satan tempts us, or when we face pressures from others, when things get tough and hard, we are to look to Jesus Christ. And we find Him in God's Word. We seek His truth to guide us and lead us and help us. To help us to say no to the wrong things. To say yes to doing the right things for Jesus Christ. Our King went into battle for us, Jesus Christ. He was obedient. He was prayerful. He used the Word of God. He sought the plan of God and obeyed it and fulfilled it. And so we in the spiritual battle follow our King, the true King, Jesus Christ. And so we commit our ways to God in prayer. We ask Him to direct us and lead us as we live for Jesus and seek to follow Jesus. And like David, we're not to assume that just because God was with us that first time, that we can just plow on ahead ourselves the second time. No, like David, we seek God every time. Continually coming to His Word. Continually seeking His plan and purpose as we look to Jesus Christ. Here we have the King who's victorious. And He protects us through the plan of God. Jesus keeps us as we live for Him, as we follow His obedience, as we look to His Word. Look to Jesus Christ. Secondly, here in these verses we have that the King protects us through the power of God. Not just through the plan of God, God's direction and leading, but He actually powerfully and physically keeps us. God works powerfully, and so the King protects us through the power of God. Look at verse 20, and then verses 24 and 25. In the first episode, the first time the Philistines come up, David comes to Baal or Baal Perazim. And here, Baal Perazim, the name means the Lord breaks through. That's what it means, or the God of breaking forth. But we often associate the name Baal with the false gods. But the name could also have been used by God's people. It simply means Lord with small letters rather than Lord with capital letters that we were thinking about this morning. And so here we have the God of breaking through. That's what this place has been named. Verse 20, David says, the Lord, notice that it's with capital letters here, the covenant God, He has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking through flood. Now, what do you think David is trying to get across to us here, or to the people? God breaks through. It's the power of God. He's the one who smashes through. He's the one who breaks forth like an unstoppable flood bursting through the barriers. Here we are told that God levels the opposition. God flattens them. It's like some supercharged rugby player running at a small, weedy opposition player. And what does He do to him? He flattens him. That's what we're being told here. God flattens the enemy. Bursts through. They can't stop him. Later on in the Old Testament, the prophet Micah will speak about the one who breaks through. In Micah chapter 2, verse 13, he who opens the breach goes up before them. He who breaks through goes before his people. He goes up before them. And they break through and pass the gate, going out by it. Here we are told that their king passes on before them, the Lord at their head. Here is the one who breaks through, and as he breaks through, we are told that his people follow in behind. And they too carry on this victorious march. Micah was looking forward to a king. Now, it couldn't have been David, because David was long dead. But it's the king who is the Lord. The Lord. Micah is looking forward to Jesus Christ, the one who breaks through, the one who defeats the enemy by the power of God. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ did on that day when he rose again from the dead. The grave couldn't hold him. The enemy, sin and death, was smashed. It was leveled. This is exactly what Jesus Christ has done in your life. If you're a Christian this evening, he has broken through. He smashed his way into the strong man's house. The strong man has been restrained and you have been set free. Jesus Christ, he broke through into your heart, into your mind, into your soul to redeem you. His power. And Jesus Christ continues to break through. He breaks through into the world as the gospel advances. As men and women and boys and girls come in saving faith. Our King is a victorious King who's powerful. What a picture of the church advancing. Sometimes we can have just such a small view of the church. We can see ourselves as weak, and we are weak because it's not our strength. But our King is victorious. And our King is mighty. And the kingdom of Jesus Christ advances and it breaks through. And in doing so, he keeps us safe. He watches over us because of his power. As we go into spiritual battle, we go with the power of God. The breaker is with us. In the second episode, we see God as the one who strikes down, verse 24 and 25. The second time the Philistines come up, perhaps they were thinking, well, this time at least we'll maybe gain the victory. We'll do things slightly differently. But here we're told in verse 24 and 25 that the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. And David did as the Lord commanded, and he struck down the Philistines. The king goes out, he leads the way, and the enemy is struck down. Jesus Christ goes before us. The captain of our soul, the captain of the army, the commander of the host of the Lord, and he strikes down the enemy. That's a comfort for us in the battle. We see the enemy rise up. We see it on the news. We see it in those around us. We get so discouraged when the laws of our nation seek to overthrow the commands of God. But Jesus Christ will strike down the enemy. The enemy rises up. The struggles that we face are real. The spiritual forces of darkness are on the attack. They come up against us. But we have one who strikes down the enemy. This has implications for us as Christians. The church as a whole, we go out with the gospel. We can take our stand against the enemy. And yes, they can throw everything at us. But at the end of the day, We know it doesn't matter what they do to us. They can harm us. They can take our life. But Jesus Christ will strike down the enemy. And we are kept eternally secure in the one who breaks through, in the one who strikes down. And so, again, boys and girls and young people, you don't have to be fearful or timid as Christians. Yes, be gracious and kind and loving when we're talking to others. But we don't have to be timid or without courage. Because your King, Jesus Christ, is on the throne. And he is the one who will strike down the enemy. The King protects us. It's implications for us as we go through our own spiritual warfare, the temptations that we face. We don't face them in our own strength. Because we have a King on the throne who's powerful, who can strike down the enemy. And so we're to look to him, cry out to him, ask him, Lord, remove this temptation from me or help me to stand up underneath it. Oh Lord, strike down the enemy here as he attacks my soul, my heart, my mind. Oh Lord, you're the one who breaks through. You're the one who strikes down. Lord, I know you to be the powerful King. So give me your strength that I might stand up, that I might stand firm. See, it's when we take our eyes off Jesus Christ that we stumble and fall. But with Jesus Christ, there is the power of God. Victorious King, who protects us in the power of God. We have the victorious King, who protects us in the plan of God. He protects us in the power of God. Then thirdly and lastly this evening, he protects us through the promise of God. He protects us through the promise of God. God's promise was that David would defeat the Philistines. And we now see that coming to fulfillment. God strikes them down. Now, this is going to be repeated for us in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. God fulfilling that promise to David that the Philistines would be defeated through him. David, we are told here in the battle, defeats the Philistines. The Philistines run off in verse 21. They leave their idols behind. And David and his men carry them away. Now we might ask here, well, where did they carry them to? Well, what are they going to use them for, these idols? Well, don't panic. When we read in Chronicles, we see that they burnt them. That's what they did with them. They weren't taking these idols away to worship them. No, the Philistines, what did they do? The Philistines ran away leaving their gods. Their gods. The gods that they looked to. The gods that they trusted in. And what does the victorious King do? Gathers them up. Throws them into the fire. That's what's happening here. And it's the promise of God. David, you will be victorious over the Philistines. You will save my people from the Philistines. And friends, this is the promise of God to us in Jesus Christ. We will be victorious in Jesus Christ. Let me read to you again what our call to worship was in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. You see, in Jesus Christ, we're not on the losing side. Yes, we might seem small, we might seem insignificant. Yes, the warfare at times can rage and it can be fierce. The struggles are real. The temptations are hard. But in Jesus Christ, we're on the winning side. And we are brought up victorious. We are gathered with our King. We will stand with him. That's the promise of God's word. It's what Paul writes about in Romans chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. If God is for us, who can be against us? In all these things, we are more than conquerors. I don't know how you can be more than a conqueror. If you're a conqueror, you're the winner. You're at the top. But God's word says you are more than conquerors. Where or how? Through him who loved us. And nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The promise of God is that through the warfare, through the battle, through the trials, the temptations, the hardships, as the world and the flesh and the devil pound on us and beat on us and rise up against us, the promise of God is we are more than conquerors. Because our King has won the victory. Because he brings us with him. He strikes down the enemy. We get to share in the victory of Jesus Christ for all eternity. We are those who will be raised up and seated with him in the last day. He leads his church in triumphal procession. The warrior king leads us in victory. And this includes his enemies being put underneath his feet. And so if you're not a Christian, then this victory of Jesus Christ, this victory of the church, it includes the striking down of you. Jesus Christ is the righteous judge, the warrior king. You might leave behind your gods. You might suddenly realize that there's no hope in the things that you've been trusting in. But if you don't come to Jesus Christ, if you don't bow the knee to him, if you don't ask for forgiveness through this great king, then you're an enemy of his. And he will strike you down eternally. If you're not in Christ's kingdom, then you're against his kingdom. But the good news is that he is the king who breaks through. And he can break through your sin. He can break through your hard heart. When we cry out to him, when we come to the king and bow the knee to him, we find that we are then on the victorious side, the winning side. The side of eternal glory. 2 Samuel chapter 5 shows us that the battle is the Lord's. There's been a wonderful high point. The king is on the throne. He rules and reigns. And if we've come in faith, then we're in this kingdom. The battle still is going on this side of eternity. There's still the warfare. The fight is not yet over. But what hope and what confidence we have. Because our king is also the warrior king. The one who goes out before us. And the one in whom and through whom we are more than conquerors. Because he loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.